December the 3rd, 2017. And you're going to have to fill in the blank now. You're going to have to fill in the blank. December 3rd, 2017, the Holy Spirit moved through our church. And I said, and then you put, yes or no, when God spoke to me. Because you're going to remember this day in the days ahead. Satan's going to mock you. Satan's going to attack you. And if you did not yield to God today, it is because you yielded to Satan. And I want you to write it down and remember this day. Because someday in the future, you may want to change that outcome. You may want to change that outcome. Some of you who put yes right there, he's going to attack you and check and see if you mean it. Mean it. Mean it. Wow. That was good. That was good. I will tell you right now that I slightly tweaked this sermon this week, I don't really do it to try to orchestrate, because I'm going to tell you, we did not orchestrate this day. I'm just telling you. You can't orchestrate this. This is what my daughter-in-law were talking about. I don't really ever want to go to church where you just stand on the appropriate song, sing three verses, sit down, take up the offering, go through the motions, and say, boy, we went to church again. I never want to feel that again either. And 30 years ago, which you know I was not here 30 years ago, I was the dean of men. Well, let's go 28. Let's go 28 years ago. I was the dean of men at a Bible college. And it was complimentary, much as it is still. If somebody says, pastor, that was a good sermon. But 28 years ago, if somebody wanted prayer, they sought me out. If we were going to have a prayer meeting, you had Whitney down there. Her dad was one of those guys. We've known them that long. He would tell you, I'm sure. He lived in the dorm my wife and I lived in. He was one of the students that lived in our dorm. We had prayer meetings that lasted all night. And I love this story because it's so funny. This guy showed up one night. He had never been to an all-night prayer meeting. He showed up carrying a pillow. And we said, dude, we don't sleep. We stay up all night. He said, well, I want to, but you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He had his verse ready, but he didn't go to bed. He didn't go to sleep. He didn't lay on his pillow. And I'm old, see? I'm telling you, it's hard for me to stay up all night anymore. But in those days, I could stay up all night praying, seeking God, and be in class the next morning. We did that before every revival. We would pray all night. And I'm not telling you if you don't pray all night or if you don't get on your face, I'm not telling you that it's not real. One time, a guy, he couldn't play the piano, but he could, you know, there's like four lines actually of notes, and he could play one line with one finger. And so he had all the guys at the prayer meeting. We had risers up on the platform for our choir, and he had all these guys in the middle of the night, and he said, we're going to sing And Can It Be. We got up, well, like we were a choir. There was nobody there but us. And we all got up and arranged ourselves, and he played And Can It Be with one finger. Man, I've never been in an all-night prayer meeting where God didn't show up at some time. And I'm going to tell you, when we were singing And Can It Be, God showed up. He said, yes, it can be. That's what he, woo. So, see, my glory days are past. My glory days are memories. But I see all these young people in our church creating glory days now. That's what we've got to have, or this church won't even exist in 5 years. It will not exist if you're waiting on the old crowd to keep being the old crowd. Now, you thought that wasn't going anywhere. If you have your Bibles, Luke 1, 5 through 14. The beginning of Christmas started way before Christmas. Well, it started way, way, way before Christmas, but I'm just in the story in Luke chapter 1. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. It's probably pronounced Abaye. If you go back to the time of David, there were too many priests even in that time, and so they divided them into divisions, and you only came twice a year, and the rest of the time you had off. People make fun of preachers. One day a week, they work 2 weeks a year. Had 50 weeks off. Pretty slick. I'm applying for priesthood. His wife was also a descendant of Aaron. They're both there. They were related, even if not closely, they were related. They were right. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth had been barren, and they were both well advanced in years. They were the old crowd at church, folks. They were the old crowd at church. They had glory days behind them. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You will call his name John, for you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Father God, would you bless the reading of your word? Would you instill this day into our memories? God, last Sunday, the Sunday before, revival week, God, I wonder why. I wonder what purpose. I wonder what you're doing, because I believe you're up to something. I praise you because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're frail, we're weak, we're humans. My eyes don't work, my hearing doesn't work, my brain doesn't work. But you are God. You alone are God, and you have no equal. We sang those words this morning. We bless your name, because I believe even the most ardent skeptic would say, "I felt something in there today." Father, now, I'm kind of preaching to the older folks today. God, let us not be done. Let us not be done just yet. I'm taking the challenge of my daughter-in-law. Lord, I remember Dan Bohai several years ago. Someone told him, "You're burning the candle on both ends. You're going to burn up." And he said, "I might burn up, but I'm not going to rust out." God, help us to determine. We're going to give you all there is. Even on a day when it isn't much to give, we're going to give you all there is. Help us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, we talked about John the Baptist, the law and the prophets. We preached on that. Preparatory. I didn't know why. The law and the prophets ended with John. John was, I said he was a bridge, but he was a wedge. He drove a fine line between keeping the law and moving on to Jesus. And now this is prior to him, and so his parents were steeped in Judaism. His parents were in the order of the priest. His parents kept the law. They were the law and the prophets of their day. And yet Elizabeth would carry in her womb a son who would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Crazy stuff. So they're going to have a son, and it will be a miraculous birth, but not in the same way. Just kind of a late in life surprise. And don't get any ideas down there. I need to confess something. I might have done this already, but I don't remember, but I told this story. I was on one day on a little bit of a tear about people accidentally getting pregnant and, you know, acting dumb like they don't know how that happens and, you know, And I said, you know, I was 19 years old when my wife and I got married, and we decided we didn't want to have kids just yet. So we waited for 3 years, mainly because it was rumored that she was pregnant. So we thought we'd prove them wrong. So we waited 3 years. She was a school teacher. We said, let's have a baby in the summertime so you can go back to school. So we planned. Now look, I'm dumber than a post. I'm dumb. But we planned to have a baby in the summer, and so my daughter was born on July the 20th. Can anybody check that date? That's the summertime. We waited 3 years and decided we should have one more. She's a school teacher. We said, let's have another baby and let's have it born in the summer. My son was born on August the 8th. Anybody got a calendar? Check that. That's summertime. Then we said, let's don't have any more at all. And I told that story saying, you don't accidentally have children. You have children by having sex. And if you're not married and you have a baby, we all know. Just kind of how it works. But Mr. Big Mouth up here, I'm looking down at my wife, and I said, and she never took one birth control pill, did you, baby? And she said, no, I didn't. But I could tell by the way she said that back to me, something was fishy. So on the way home that day, she said, you do remember I had my tubes tied, right? I said, you know, I forgot that little detail. So she never took one birth control pill. We managed the first few years, but then after that, we didn't have to worry about it. See, you couldn't, that's just how it works. So I just thought I would clear that up because some of you think we were really, really good at what we did. Where were we? Yeah. Stand for the benediction, please. Here's all I'm telling you. Elizabeth did not conceive by the Holy Spirit. That's all I'm telling you. So I'm going to go on now. I'm just going to go on. So, but now I got to change. Now I got to change. I got to preach now. So, and this no longer has very much to do with those guys. This has to do with us. If only going to church was enough. If only going to church was enough. I appreciate everybody that's come up here this morning and talked, and God's laid stuff on your hearts. BJ, I didn't know she was going to do that. But she said she told God, I go to church. Boy, if only going to church was enough. Wouldn't that be great? Just if you just had a good track record of attending church, that would be good. Let's go to verse 6 again. They were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blamelessly. Wow. So what was the problem? Their worship was rote memory and not moved by God. They did the right things, but that did not make the things right. Isaiah chapter 1. Go home and read that today. Read Isaiah chapter 1 because it's really good. It's really good. But he says, you guys, don't keep doing this. He was begging them to get serious with himself. And they were a little slow. You probably know where I'm going. How many people sit in church Sunday after Sunday and go through the motions of good, faithful church attendance? I had you write it down. On a day, and you could have written it down any day for the last month, on a day when God shows up and it's kind of undeniable that he just keeps moving. See, God showed up in the form of an angel to Zacharias. And Zacharias was troubled. And fear came upon him. The people were outside praying and Zacharias wasn't coming out. He was staying in there. And they couldn't figure out why because you just went through the motions. They cast lots. They cast lots. They rolled dice, as it were, to see who got to do what job. Isn't that crazy? Church got reduced to that in their day. So even when an angel showed up, all it did was mess with his world a little bit. Verses 12 and 21 now I'm reading. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. I'm going to tell y'all one more right here because it's kind of funny and it's a long, long time ago. When we were in the little bitty building uptown, you know, that's when I look back, and I'm telling you, this is pretty good. This is good. But we had some services uptown in that little bitty church when it got kind of crazy in there. And the Methodist preacher lived next door to us, and Trevor Davis was his name. I loved the guy. We were friends. We've visited. Our kids were the same, you know, the friends. This is not a besmirchment to him at all. But Frank Woodward's wife had died, and we were feeding Frank lunch a lot of times, you know, just to help him out. And it was about 1:30 one day, and Frank was walking to our house because we were uptown too. And Frank was walking, and he told us when he got to the house that there was some crepe myrtles at that time there. And he said, what was it? Lilacs. Is that right? Bushes. There were bushes. And Frank said he was walking 1:30 in the afternoon. Man, church just got over with. And he said, I saw two legs sticking down out of the bushes. So it's kind of like the burning bush experience. Frank turned here to say, let me see now why there are feet sticking out of these bushes. And so when the preacher saw that he was known, he walked out of the bush. And there was the Methodist preacher. And he walked up to Frank and he said, did church just get over with? And Frank said, yep, 1:30 in the afternoon. Church just got over with. And the preacher said to Frank, well, why did church go so long? He said, well, some people ended up around the altar. And we had to take some time to pray. And when there's people at the altar, we don't go till they're done. And it took a little while. But praise God, they got her done. I don't know if Trevor knew what that meant exactly, but he smiled and nodded, and Frank come on to the house, and he went in his house, told us that story. They wondered why Zacharias lingered so long in the temple. Do you see the point I'm making? It amazes some people that we have church for an hour and a half. It amazes me sometimes we don't go for 3 hours. When God's here, I don't want to go home. I don't want to even walk through those wooden doors into the foyer because another guy who's dead, Dan Johnson, used to say, Pastor, I could take the temperature from inside that door to outside that door, and it's 15 degrees different. That's what he would tell me. When God was thick in here, he's not thick right out those doors. And all you got to do to get away with it is run. Or get away from it is run a few feet, and it'll fall off like scales. I'm off the sermon. Got to go back. The people marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. Boy, that's so much of church today. Don't go over the expected time, and don't say we had a visitation. That makes people nervous, preacher. When you say God showed up, that just makes people uncomfortable. Well, it made Zacharias uncomfortable when that angel showed up. What a story. This is a great story. You know it, so let me just hurry on. It is hard to see God when the light goes out. It is hard to see God when the light goes out. Now, that was to the old people. You got that one? That was to the old people. Now I'm going to go to the young people. You ready? Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Old folks, the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and so the young boy Samuel did not know what it meant to hear from God or to know a visitation and recognize God's on the scene. And he was living with the priest at the time. The priest, Eli, had messed up, and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, had messed up, and God prepared a child through Hannah. And he said, I'll raise up a new generation. Look at me, young people. I will raise up a new generation who will serve the Lord and not be ashamed and not care that the old people didn't do it. I'm going to do it. That's you guys. How many of you are under 30? Raise your hands. Stand up. If you're under 30, I want you to stand up. That's all of you. That's all of you. I hope my daughter-in-law is still under 30. Praise God. Because this is kind of for her. Y'all, you can sit back down. Do you know how many churches in America, over 25% of the crowd would not have stood up if that question had been asked? Because the young ones are gone already. They said to the older crowd, you have not made church relevant. You have not made me feel anything about God that I want, so I'm gone. And too many of those young people don't go somewhere else. They don't go at all. We are blessed. Give those young people a hand right now. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim so that he could not see so good, he was a little hard of hearing. He was a little creaking in the back. Kind of reminds me of me. Before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, this is the menorah, you know, the lamps, and they put the last oil in and just let it go out. That's what was happening there. Before the lamp of God went out, while Samuel was lying down, the Lord said, Samuel, and he answered, here I am. And where did he run? To Eli, not to the tabernacle, not to God. He ran to Eli. And Eli said, boy, I didn't call you. Go lay down. Samuel, here I am. Back to Eli. I did not call you. Go lay down. The third time, Samuel runs to Eli and says, do not tell me you didn't call me. I plainly heard my name. And Eli reached back somewhere in his past and said, oh my goodness, the boy has heard the voice of the Lord. And he said, son, go lay down one more time. And if you hear your name again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Isn't that a great story? I just had the 30 and under people stand up. The ark of God was there. But the old folks had not seen the Lord move in a long time. There was no widespread revelation. Samuel represents the young generation. We need some people to get up and run to God and say, here I am, Lord, speak, for I am listening. I never will forget, well, until I can't remember anything. You knew that was coming, didn't you? I don't remember her name right this minute. Lydia. Woo! Thank the Lord. I will never forget Lydia Davidson saying, Rick Pearson was preaching, and she said, I was paying attention, but she said, he said, Lydia. Right while he was preaching, he said my name. And she said, I looked up to see why he said my name, and I realized it wasn't Rick Pearson at all. God said her name. Is that accurate enough, close enough? Because my wife tells me sometimes that I, you know, elongate. It's as I remember it, which is not very credible anymore. Can I tell you, when I wrote those words that I prayed over that sermon, that this morning, while I'm talking, a young person will hear God say their name. And they won't say, "Preacher, I heard you say my name." They'll say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens." It may have already happened in here, to tell you the truth. It may have already happened. I wonder if there's a 30-year-old right now who would stand up and say, "I'm listening right now." Are you listening? Is there a 30 or under person right now? If you want to listen to God, I want you to stand back up. 30 and under. Are you too afraid? There's a couple. There's a few. You got to listen now. Hearing means you're listening. All right? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. I told Malia this week, you may have to stand up during church. I don't know. I knew she would. I hoped a lot would. Wow. Now the question. If you're listening for God to call your name, what are you going to do about it? The old folks, we've tried our best to be holy examples. We've gone to church faithfully. We've kept the commandments to the best of our ability. But younger people today seem to want something slightly more tangible. That's not a bad thing. It doesn't have to be a good thing, but it doesn't have to be a bad thing because they want it to be a little different. They say, "I want my religious experience to not be so transcendental that it's way over here and my life is over here. I want them together. I want it to matter every day." And see, I'm afraid that some of us older folks kind of got into a pretty good routine of checking our spirituality at the door on the way out and saying, "See you next Sunday," just like we were clocking in and clocking out. And God did not matter to us out there like he should have. And so America is suffering for that. And I'm not saying in our church. I'm saying in other churches. Surely not here, right? Surely not here. Christmas could start early. The beginning of Christmas, that's the sermon title today. This is December if you haven't started buying presents. I highly recommend you get with that program. And if you didn't put your lights up this past week, hello, have you seen the weather? You blew it. You're going to be out there in the freezing cold saying, "Don't fall off the roof." I scared our next door neighbor. Their daughter was there, and she was standing on the side of the house watching me. I didn't even know she was there till I got down. She said, "You made me nervous when you were up on that peak." I said, "I make me nervous when I'm up on that peak." I used to think nothing of being 120 feet in the air hanging on a little rope. Literally hanging on a little rope, jumping around. Because we didn't have OSHA 100 miles out in the ocean. We did what we, bless God, wanted to. So it never bothered me a bit. But I was young then. Now, buddy, I tell you what, I'm holding on with everything. My toes, there's probably holes in my roof from my toes digging in. And my wife says, "You're not that old. Get up there and put those lights up." I said, "We bought Lydia at the auction. She could do it." You can thank her for that later. She said, "Absolutely not, you crazy thing. You get up there." So here's verse 14, wrapping it up. Now this is just, I mean, just think about it. If we just pulled this one verse out and read it, what would you think we were talking about? "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Right? What wouldn't you think we're talking about Jesus right there? Wouldn't you think that? But we're talking about John the Baptist. We're talking about to the older crowd. We're talking about a gift of the young to the old. Isn't that amazing? I believe that's what this is really about today. John means gracious gift of God. There's two or three different things, but biblically, and it compares to the Hebrew word Johanan. It just means gracious gift of God. That's what it means. His parents are going to have joy and gladness because their world had come alive. Their church would come alive. Their neighbors would rush to them and say, "Glory to God. Man, what's going on?" And you know all that story. But I want it to be about us today. I want it to be about right here, right now. Before the birth of Jesus, in 1 month, well, 21 days now about, we need to come alive in our own hearts first. Older folks, we need to decide that going through the motions is not going to cut it anymore. One of my biggest fears, and I just told someone this, Christmas can be a letdown spiritually in the church because we revert to so much tradition. And Christmas programs are good. The little kids, they do good. The adults, they practice so hard. They want their songs to be good. We kind of do have a little bit of a thing for quality that, you know, we try to make things good. But we cannot let it be a tradition. We cannot revert back even for a moment. If you wrote down December the 3rd, 2017, God showed up and I, whatever you fill in the blank, after that, put a semicolon and put, and I will never be the same. And if you believe that, I want you to stand up right now. Everybody, old and young alike, I hope you recognize that's how church is ending today. So everybody should be standing up. Well, we did it a while ago. I'm going to ask you to do it one more time. If you're comfortable or physically able, I want you to raise your hands. Both of them, if I have to hold this microphone. Raise your hands and close your eyes. Close your eyes and nobody can see you. That's what my kids always used to tell me. Close your eyes and raise your hands. And if you're comfortable praying this out loud, say, Father God, I never want to be the same. I never want church to be the same. But I realize that that means I can never be the same. In this church. For God's glory, I give you me. Let's leave now. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.